covering Oregon, it is Andrew Greif. Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Andrew.
Hey, thanks so much, guys.
You know, we saw a report a few weeks back that some Oregon players may have been quitting on Mark Helfrich and may have been giving up on the season. Does that report now appear to have some truth to it, or is this a team that's maybe fighting harder behind the scenes than we're seeing?
Yeah, you know, that was aired. That was a concern shared by several players, you know, about mid-season early on, about, you know, guys aren't giving their all, they're quitting on us, and, you know, if you don't want to be here, just go away. pretty charged words in the locker room. And it's a little hard to get a total read on what's happening because players are presenting a pretty united front. But I think there's no doubt that as every loss piles up, there's a little less motivation that probably drains away from this team. I mean, the seniors, they've said that they're playing for pride, and even some of the young guys. But I just don't think that obviously you can say that this team is probably as motivated as it would be if it were, you know, 7-3 instead of 3-7.
Why did Oregon originally decide to make the quarterback change? Because we've seen Justin Herbert in there, and he doesn't appear to have much more of an ability to throw than Dakota Prukup did. What was the original motivation for the quarterback change?
Well, I actually would push back on that. You know, Herbert is actually, I think that he has shown that he is a really good downfield passer, a pretty good quarterback. Coaches really love the way he can basically... They say that he has kind of an unteachable gift of being able to find when guys are open, and that's something that, along with he learned the playbook really quickly in fall camp, and some physical gifts. You know, he's 6'5", he can run pretty well. That eventually they said, okay, it's just time to give him the turn, said Dakota Prukop, who wasn't playing poorly necessarily, you know, enough necessarily to lose the job, but they thought Herbert offered more upside. And you know, he's done things against bad defenses like Arizona State and Cal that he was supposed to, frankly. He had 10 touchdowns combined in those two games just through the air. And then he's come back to earth a little bit against USC and Stanford. But I think that's what pretty much anyone would expect against those two good defenses. So I think he has been an upgrade.
Looking at this Oregon team, when did we start to notice these cracks originally? Utah wasn't expected to go in last year and blow them out like they did, and they came out with a 62-20 win. Was that the first part where we started to say, hey, maybe this Oregon team isn't what it was under Chip Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to trace things back to that moment because Oregon was still kind of living off the run to the college football playoff, and you know they had the quarterback drama with Vernon Adams getting to campus late. So there was so much being talked about, but no one really saw the fissures kind of widening underneath the foundation. And the Utah one really set it off. You know, there was I looked at the stat the last week that from 2000 to 2014, Oregon allowed 50-plus points six times. You know, and then the last two seasons alone, they've allowed 50-plus points six times. And that Utah one was the start of it.
Defensively, do they have any strong suits? I mean, they don't rank very highly in any major defensive category, but what would you say is Oregon's strength on defense?
That is really a good question because there's no one thing I can think of immediately off the top of my head that they are great at. You know, they have their two leading tacklers are true freshmen, the safety Brendan Schooler and the outside linebacker Troy Dye. I would say those two guys offer maybe the most hope for people still clinging to some hope for this team for the future. They're being put through a crucible right now and playing pretty well. But on a unit by unit basis, I mean, there's just inconsistency everywhere. And I'm sure you guys have seen the defensive line is missing, you know, five guys for the rest of the season right now who are on the depth chart to start the year, and some other guys are hurt beyond them. Linebackers are having a real tough time tackling still. And the secondary, you know, although maybe not, it's probably the most consistently promising unit, is still, you know, when you get zero support from the pass rush, it's hard to keep your coverage. So it's a mess all over.
Andrew Greif's our guest, 1320K fan, talking Oregon football. When Oregon has played well and they've had some high-scoring games, what do they do?
You know, what they do when they do play well is they move the ball quickly and they score efficiently in the red zone. That's something that third downs have been a problem. You know, penalties have ended drives multiple times the last couple of weeks. Promising drives just go, they get pushed back from like 3rd and 2 until 3rd and 7, and if they don't convert it, then they stall. So penalties are something that have to be cut. I know Herbert, his effectiveness as a quarterback, when he's going, he can get Ducks to 45 points plus pretty easily. And then defensively, really what's been their saving grace when they are playing well is, like against Arizona State, they get pressure on the quarterback, force some bad decisions, and do well enough against the run that they hold on.
What would you say the chances are Markelle Fritsch keeps his job after this season, in your opinion?
You know, it seems, there's a whole lot of positivity that he keeps it right now. There's just a bunch of bad energy, it seems like, coming out of Eugene. There's no one has really come out and stood up for him publicly from the administration. The AD hasn't given interviews all fall. He gave an interview yesterday to the in-house radio show at UVO and talked about women's basketball and men's basketball and didn't even make a point talking about football. So it just seems like kind of the storm clouds are gathering, which is something that would have seemed absolutely insane 2 years ago when they, you know, gave him a 7-year contract extension. So I don't think it right now there's a whole lot of good feeling that Mark can hold on to that.
I hate to say anyone's job is they deserve to lose their job, but is this a knee-jerk reaction to him not being Chip Kelly without really giving him a chance to kind of put his mark, or put his print on this team?
Well, I do think that he was, in some ways you're set up in a really hard spot when you take over for Chip Kelly. You know, you're the in-house guy who people don't know a whole lot. You come out, you're following this guy who has, you know, who branded Oregon. You gave them the win the day, gave them the offense that they were known for. So, you know, when Helfrich came in and he was basically kept everything the same, at least from an outsider perspective in terms of the way they played, the speed, the practice music they play, you know, even though they kept everything, it was probably a smart decision to do that, not to upend the apple cart. It left Helfrich with very little to say, you know, here's what I have done, to at least a public from an outsider view. So I do think that he was kind of put in some ways, like the best position in taking over a program with that much talent. But it was also almost untenable, you know, because people were inevitably going to compare him every step of the way to Chip Kelly.
What's the vibe around the Civil War this year? Both Oregon and Oregon State are struggling. I mean, who do you expect to be favored right now?
You know, if it were to continue, if both teams played like they did last week, I would probably expect Oregon State to be a slight favorite. They haven't won in, I believe, 8 years. And one thing I'll be looking for is that, you know, Oregon, ever since Chip Kelly took over as head coach, severely devalued the role of rivalry games and the importance of them on the program and what they mean. You know, every game was a Super Bowl. That was kind of the motto of the Ducks for a long time. And I think right now, like one of the players told me this week that the Civil War is like their bowl game. You know, he's called the Civil War Bowl. So I'd be curious to see if the coaches play it up, you know, the importance a little bit more, because if they don't, I do think you're looking at a situation where Oregon State will probably be the more motivated team because they have a streak to end and they've been playing marginally better the last half of the season.
If Markelle Fritsch isn't the coach next year, is there a favorite for that job?
You know, I don't know right now. I think that there's so many betting favorites in different ways we can bet on that. You know, I don't know if Oregon's allure is enough to land a top tier guy. I just don't know if the connection to Nike notwithstanding, their recruiting profile is tough. It's tough to recruit to Oregon. The demographics in the state, they don't produce a ton of talent year after year. And other schools have been poaching Oregon's best talent. You go to Washington, just poached Oregon's two best players this year in this recruiting class. So it's a tough sell in that regard to coaches, especially if you've been coaching like a Tom Herman out of Houston, deep in the heart of Texas, where you don't have to even travel to recruit. You know, if you come to Oregon, you will likely have to get on a plane and fly at least 2 or 3 hours to start your recruiting. So I know that might not be the most attractive thing. That said, they probably offer $5 million or more, and you know, priceless connection that is Nike. So, you know, the names like PJ Fleck get passed around, Tom Herman, Scott Frost, you know, the former Oregon coordinator. I'm not sure how realistic any of them are, to be honest.
can find him on Twitter at Andrew Greif, read him in the Oregonian, covering the Ducks. Great stuff, Andrew. Thanks.
Thanks, Andrew.
Hey, thank you.
There he is, Andrew Greif, giving us a good breakdown on the Ducks.